and welcome to the Extra Edge podcast. This is a podcast about sports analytics. I'm Dave Grinjinski, and today we're talking to Connor Nabors. Connor is the director of athletic performance for football at the University of Louisiana, the home of the Raging Cajuns. Connor, thank you so much for joining us here on the Extra Edge podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Blessed to be here.
Now, Coach, on this podcast, we talk about collecting sports data and analytics. We also want to use that data to get insights, and then we use it to take some action, right? We call it DIA is what we call it around here, data insights in action. And so, you know, I guess to start, kind of walk me down your road, from your playing career to your coaching career, and then how you discovered sports analytics and the power that they can provide a coach.
All right. So first of all, I'm using DIA in my next staff meeting. All right. Just so we're clear. Well, I'm originally from Huntsville, Alabama. I grew up the biggest Alabama fan you could ever imagine. And when I finally started getting recruiting in football, a little undersized, wasn't the fastest, wasn't the strongest, wasn't the biggest, but I got a PWO at LSU, and I took that, and I immediately learned that DIA was going to benefit me because we had a roster spot open for fullback. I walked on as a linebacker. We have a roster spot open for a fullback, and Coach Moffitt, who's the head strength coach at Texas A&M right now, he told Coach Miles in a staff meeting that I had one of the highest accelerations and decelerations, and that I would probably be a candidate for the fullback position.
So what you're talking about, like somewhere between 2010, 2014 when you're at LSU?
That was my freshman summer there.
Yeah.
When they made that switch. So at the end of that summer, I had a meeting with Coach Miles, Coach Chavis, who was the defensive coordinator at the time, and why I went to LSU as a PWO, and myself, and we sat down and talked, and they gave me the opportunity to make the decision on my own and said that I would see the field earlier.
So as a preferred walk-on, it's the data that actually helped you get on the field.
Yes, sir. Yeah, so I actually played in the first game against North Carolina in the Georgia Dome as a true walk-on freshman.
Wow. So there you go. So now you're a fan of the data. And so as you go through your career, I mean, you earned the nickname Bonesaw. So I imagine that had something. Did that have to do with the data too?
That was actually during a max out my sophomore year. I don't know if you are familiar or the listeners are familiar with Sam Montgomery. He was a defensive end that lived above me my freshman and sophomore year. His nickname was Sonic Sam, and he was real big into, Marvel or comics or whatever. And we used to watch on YouTube the first Spider-Man, where with Tobey Maguire, where he like wrestles Macho Man Randy Savage and does the whole bonesaw thing. So I maxed out on a power clean on a day that I shouldn't have. I hit a number I really shouldn't have hit, and then I slammed the bar and started doing the bonesaw. And Sam Montgomery was in that lift, and we all started chanting Bonesaw. So it stuck.
However you get the nickname, as long as it sticks and it's a good one, and that's definitely a good one. That is definitely a great one. So you get through your playing career at LSU, and I understand you went as an undrafted free agent to the Titans, and then an injury cut your professional career short. But you didn't let go of the impact that sports analytics and the data had on you as you began your coaching career, correct?
Yes. So everywhere I've been after that, whether it be at LSU, Alabama, FAU, back to LSU, and then now here at UL, we've always had something that tracks an athlete, whether it be a Tendo, a GPS unit, any other VBT or a force plate. And so I've always been intrigued about it because of my past as a player and knowing that, you know, we're using it. The universities are spending thousands and thousands of dollars to track our athletes. And it's not just about data collection. Anybody can collect data, but how can we apply the collection into our programs? And then everywhere else that I've been at LSU and at Alabama, specifically as a young coach, it was how can we create an edge over our opponents by using this data? And that's always stuck with me because, if you know, you never just do it to do it, right? There's always a purpose behind it. And I've realized that, you know, you have to apply what you're collecting to create that edge. And so I love it. And it shows me, first of all, we foster competition. We send out all of our numbers within, whether it be on the force play or on the Connexon data. You know, who's the fastest? Who's the most consistent? Who's given effort? You know, not every, you can't peak every day, but you can give 100% effort and you can see guys and you can call them in, like, hey, you know, what's up? What's going on? Why aren't you giving us everything you got today? And I love it. I can't get enough of it. And I put a lot of stress on my staff. And I, you know, I'd like to give them a shout out. My staff is unbelievable. And they do an incredible job of giving me, you know, what I ask of them in return. So it takes a lot. And there's a lot of times where, you know, you're looking what we like to call the matrix. You know, you're just coming through data, but, you know, you can also get lost in it. But so we try to keep it to the KISS method.
And I've heard you mention that before. And so let's talk a little bit about that. Like, one of the things that we like to talk about around here is the metrics trifecta. And so if I'm a coach coming to you and I say, coach, look, I'm thinking about doing this, but man, oh man, there's all these metrics. There's all these things that I could I don't even know where to begin. Do you have like a top three that you would tell people where to go, tell other coaches where to go, where to start?
Yeah, I would start specifically with Connexon, the accumulated accelerative load, or just the entire load of your session. Then I would go into the load per minute or mechanical intensity, really, for lower body stress, for the density of your session. And then I personally like to look at speeds. Are we hitting certain speed thresholds because of hamstring and soft tissue resiliency? So those are the things that I like to look at specifically in each session that we do, because we're trying to reverse engineer practices a game week, and more specifically the hardest week of camp. And then how can we recreate, you know, the undulation of season to where we're peaking at the right moments in season?
So when you talk about your metrics, and I've heard you say in other interviews that in football specifically, the combination of acceleration and deceleration is pivotal because it's just so unique. It's so unique to the sport. Can you talk a little bit about that and how you track that and how, I guess, those metrics have evolved for you over the years?
So in the sport of football, you know, you have more accelerations than decelerations for skill positions in most cases. So, you know, football is an accelerated sport. You know, if you got a wide receiver that runs a go route, you know, he may go 50 yards down the field, hit maybe anywhere. And hopefully he's catching the ball and scores a touchdown. He hits a new max velocity. You know, let's hope. That's not always the case. But he's not going to have an abrupt deceleration. He's going to have a long decel. So that accelerate, that high intensity acceleration is what we're really looking for. And the decels, they don't always match that for skill positions. Now, when you get into the mid-skill positions, let's say linebackers, tight ends, they will have just as many decelerations as accelerations. And then when you get into like O-line, D-line, those guys will have as many accelerations and decelerations, not as a higher threshold, but they're getting them. And their change of direction is a lot different. And their skill positions are a lot different. Like those guys need to be stronger than everyone else does, whereas like skills, they need to be more elastic because they have to overcome inertia every time. Most positions, especially the O-line, and then, which is the hardest position, by the way, I will say, because everything happens behind you. We track those on a daily basis for practice. And then once we see what would they have for, like, let's say a whole week of practice, then we start implementing them with progressive overload from January all the way up to the start of fall camp in August. And so it's a long progression. It's about 6 months.
And that's one of the keys here, right? This isn't something where you apply analytics or you start collecting data on your team and it's like, you know, a day or two or a week later, you're going to know things. This is about you build those thresholds, right? And then you kind of know what you're looking at. This is a process, right?
Right. Yeah, it is a process and a long process. Unfortunately, there are times where, you know, you get the data or you get the system, whatever it may be. And then all of a sudden people start asking questions. Well, how can we do this? How can we do that? What are we doing wrong? And it's like, well, let's just pump the brakes here. If you're looking for a problem, you're going to find it. Let's collect data. Let's look at it. Let's understand what we're looking at. And then apply it when we can apply it.
One of the things that I think, that's very interesting that you said is that with the data, you take the emotion out of the game. Can you talk about that?
Right. Yeah. So it's objective. And so when you sit down, especially with coaching staffs, there are times where some people, and I've been a party to it, you can feel attacked because like what you're doing or what we're doing may be part of the problem, depending on what you're looking at. And it's like, well, hey, take the emotion out of it. Check your ego in at the door. What am I doing that maybe I can pivot from? I did it this offseason already. You know, we had a max velocity day on a Monday. We're in the indoor. It's 28 degrees outside. The indoor's cold. We're doing flying 15s, and we got a 15 yard buildup. Well, we're progressing up to that. The first flying 10s, they didn't look good. Guys are starting, they don't look like they have a good lather because it's so cold, you know, but we're fighting against time per NCAA rule. So I'm in it. We're looking at the data and I see it as a coach, but then we look at the data and say, like, hey, well, we're not doing that today. Cut it now. Because the last thing I want to do is go into a staff meeting and have an injury report where we've got our best athletes sidelined in one of the most critical moments of general prep, you know, and I can't do that. So taking the emotion out of that for me personally, it was like, hey, do you want to keep your job? All right, cool. let's pivot. And you know what? The athletes never know.
Yeah.
They'll never know.
And so, I mean, so when you're looking at the data, has there, you know, and you don't have to name names, but you can if you want. First of all, what kind of system are you using now? Because there's so many different types of things out there. You know, there's LPS, IMU, there's GPS. What type of system are you using?
So currently we are using the Connexon LPS system indoors. Our entire indoor is wired with that. We are using around 100 units for our athletes in the indoor. And then once we transition to spring football, we will use both LPS and GPS units because we go indoors and outdoors. So our football team has both LPS and GPS units.
Okay. And so, you know, and when you're collecting the data and you're looking at it, and again, you know, you don't have to name names. Has there ever been an instance when you can look back and say, man, kind of like your situation, you know, the data made the difference for you. The data is what got you onto the field. But do you look at it and say, wow, look at the number of soft tissue injuries are going down, or, you know, this guy would have never seen the field if it wasn't for, you know, the hard data for us to look at. Do you have any examples like that? Have you seen that happen as a coach, like it happened to you as a player?
Yeah. So our training staff, athletic training staff, does a end of the year injury report. And this year, our availability of our roster at any point in time was 90% availability. And soft tissue injuries went down significantly. I can't give you a number right off the top of my head. I think maybe two people missed games because of a hamstring strain. And one of the kids missed a game because he had a hamstring strain, knew he had a hamstring strain, but wanted to run down on kickoff anyways. He wasn't very good after the first rep, but, you know, it meant something to him. So and that is from the buy-in that we have because of the competition that we fuel with the units that we use.
And so do you credit, is it the off-season workouts connected to the data, or is it all encompassing all year round? You know, can you kind of walk us through?
Yeah, I would say it's all encompassing because I sit down with the coaching staffs. I sit down with the head coach if I ever see a problem, or validate everything that he is doing as our head coach. Like, hey, yeah, stay the course. What we're doing is great. Or, hey, coach, this is something that I noticed. And it's a lot harder to go to the head coach and make a significant change, because, like, that's not what you want to do anyways. You can make a significant change by small changes over time. So this, you could be the same thing, but it's completely different.
So do you have an example of like, you know, something you saw and then you said, okay, we need to change this a little bit. And then did it contribute to whether it's the soft tissue injuries going down? Do you have an example like that?
Yes. Yeah, so, an example that I can share with you is at some point during in-season practice, we had a few guys that had heavy legs and they couldn't figure out why. The players couldn't. And they were telling their position coaches that they were, you know, like, my legs feel heavy. I'm not exactly sure. I'm doing everything. I'm eating, I'm sleeping, and I'm doing TLC recovery in addition to everything that's asked of me. And a lot of that, you know, the coaches were scratching their heads, and I'm like, well, listen, look at what this guy is doing. Here's the mechanical intensity that this guy is giving, and it's through the roof. Maybe since this guy is giving so much effort daily and we're able to track it, because we had a previous system that couldn't track that. That was one of the main reasons that we chose Connexon, was because we could bug the indoor, get indoor, outdoor, and it showed us the mechanical intensity of lower body stress. That was a huge thing, selling point for me. And I went up and talked, and I had the talks with the position coaches, like, this guy's giving great effort daily. Maybe you should monitor his reps on a lot of things that he already knows and has shown this week. So when Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday rolls around, you know, you're not running your own racehorse in your own backyard. So when game day comes, comes in, like he's ready for the Kentucky Derby.
Well, it's so, you know, your story reminds me, like, you know, I played football in high school. I did not play. I played baseball in college. But I just remember one time, double sessions, one of the linemen, we're running ladders. And, you know, Coach Al Hodakovic, God love him. You know, he's one of those guys that, you know, you have these coaches throughout your life that just inspire you. And Coach Al is the best. Well, this kid, we're running ladders. And I just remember he said, you know, he just wasn't running as hard as Coach wanted him to run. And Coach said something to him. And the player's like, but Coach, my legs are raw. And Coach Al said, well, you better cook those suckers up. You know, and I just think back to those days where you're just flying, you know, it's just you had nothing to back up anything, right? You had nothing, you know, it was just what you saw. You saw a kid, and then now you're thinking, okay, well, he's dogging it, right? You know, now though, you can go to the data and you look and say, okay, well, actually, he's not dogging it. Maybe his body's not letting him get to where we want him to go.
I agree with that. And I think that's a double-edged sword, though, especially with a collision sport like football. It's like, don't let it scare you, because you still got to be a man about it. You still got to have grit. There's just a time and a place. There are times where you need to redline, no doubt about it, whether it be an off-season conditioning, whether it be sprinting, whether it be practice. You do need to redline. For sure. See what these guys can do, because you got to condition them for the game. And if you let the data always scare you, you know, without discomfort, there's never growth. You have to push those boundaries and then be smart about it. Once you've pushed the boundaries, all right, now pull them back. It's the same thing with any type of deload. But the longer you wait to deload, the longer the deload needs to be. So, you know, you just got to be wary of that and conscientious of it, and then be able to apply it. And I think that's what makes the greats great, is that, A, you don't lose your edge when it comes to coaching and coaching hard, but then you show restraint when it comes to recovery and doing what's proper for the athlete. And just because it happened to you doesn't mean it needs to happen to somebody else. And in the hard ways, you know, because my grandfather played for Coach Bryant, and Coach Bryant came to Alabama right after the Junction Boys. And if you've never seen or read, first of all, you need to read the book, The Junction Boys, and then you need to watch the movie. And then you'll see exactly, you know, what it went through. But if we kept that same mentality, we wouldn't give guys water at practice.
Well, I went through one of those practices where we didn't get water. So, you know, like, I know exactly what you're talking about.
So I've always heard those stories, and I admire people who went through that. But they were wrong. We're maybe not wrong. They just didn't know.
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing, and that's the beauty of this, and you know, to have the data, and like you say, you take the emotion out of it, you look at the data, and you can figure things out. One of the things I was wondering, you know, congratulations on the New Orleans Bowl. You know, it's heartbreaking, you know, the way that game ended, you know, and again against Jacksonville State, one of your close friends on the other sideline, yeah. like that, right. That had to be interesting to, you know, to go through.
Yeah, so that was tough. That, I guess you called the Connexon Bowl.
I did call it that, actually.
Well, Coach Dillman texted me and Blake McCall prior to the game and sent in a text. So, yeah, it was fun. You know, great competition between both teams. Unfortunately, there is a winner and loser to every game. We were on the latter side of that.
But still, Coach, a great season, and you know, and the only reason I bring it up is because managing now the schedule and the college football schedule, you know, we see games now on Tuesdays, we see games on Wednesdays, we have all, you know, we've had the Thursday thing going, you know, and then of course you have, you know, your Saturdays and things. Does having the data help you to manage the schedule as well when you have these games that are on different days and or getting you ready for a bowl game?
Absolutely. So we've had games on Tuesdays. We've had games on Wednesdays. We've had games on Thursdays. Now, this season, we only had two midweek games, I believe, maybe only one. The season prior, we had five, and that was tough.
But how does the data help you then when you're in those situations?
Okay. We would bug walkthroughs. We started bugging walkthroughs because we wanted to see, okay, even though some walkthroughs are shorter, some walkthroughs are longer. The walkthroughs are longer in a Thursday game because you have a five-day turnaround, which is tough. And I could tell you about how we shouldn't do that, and that, you know, for player safety, and you can look into the NFL and all the injuries and all that if you want. That's not my place to say. I'm just, as a coach, you know, objectively looking at it, and some of those walkthroughs that we were going through, although they were not intense, the volume that were these our players were on their feet was alarming. And you're like, oh, I didn't know that. Like, wow, this guy was on his feet for only an hour and a half, but, you know, he traveled 2.5 miles. You know, he wasn't sprinting. He almost didn't register, you know, in any over 60% at any point in time of his max velocity, you know, which obviously it's a walkthrough, but you're like, well, how is that possible? Well, if you got a guy jogging from spot to spot, you know, you'd be surprised how fast they can jog. You know, it's
yeah.
Yeah. So that was
I mean, that's eye-opening because that's something you're not, you know, you wouldn't even, you know, you didn't think about it. But with the data, now you know. It's like putting tread on the tire. You know, you got tread on the tire, but the tire's on the road. Whether you're going 10 miles an hour or you're on the, you know, you're on the highway going 75, you know, that tire's still losing tread.
Right, right, exactly. So brought that up, and we did that during camp. And then I remember – Coach Desmond was like, wow, I didn't think that a walkthrough would be like that. Let's keep that in mind for when we do play on a Thursday game this year. And so we applied that. The walkthroughs weren't as long.
And then over the course of a season, that helps, you know, all of your players now have a little more tread on their tire when you get to the end of the year or you have these games with shorter weeks.
Yeah. I mean, it was a no-brainer when you saw it, and then we applied it, and then guys were flying around on game day, and that's all you can ask for.
Do you use this for recruiting?
Absolutely. 1,000%. I think it's one of the biggest flexes that we have. This may have changed, but I was talking to Coach Dillman and Chris King about it. You know, hey, like, where do we rank in the Connexon family when it comes to the amount of units that we have as a football team, but also as a university? And like, y'all are number one. No one else in the world has as many units as y'all have. So with football, with women's basketball, men's basketball, and volleyball, we have the most units in the world from Connexon, and we use that as a flex 100%. Because it shows exactly where our school aligns athletics and how much they are investing in our program, in the athlete.
You know, and I heard you say, you know, you can tell parents, like, you'll know your kids will be safe here with us. I was going to ask you about that, if other sports are using it. And, you know, and while we're on the topic, you know, are they seeing some of the same results as you are, whether it's, you know, with soft tissue injuries down or player availability up? Are the other sports seeing those types of developments as well?
Yeah, absolutely. They come in here every day, and we have a big weight room. The entire staff's in here, and I go in there in their offices and ask them, you know, well, how are you doing this? How are you tracking this? I think one of the biggest things, and I'm going to keep the sport out of it, but when they started tracking practices, it was, you know, game after game after game. All of a sudden, you know, it brings it to the attention of the head coach. It's like, hey, we played three games this week, but we're only scheduled for one. And they're like, what do you mean? Show it to them. This is exactly how a practice is. This is why, you know, athlete A has a pulled hamstring. Athlete B is, you know, heard they're growing, you know, and then all of a sudden those conversations arise. And over a course of a year, their entire practice plans have changed.
And for the, and that's to your point, like you were saying before, take the emotion out of it, look at the data and use it.
Yeah. And our men's basketball team didn't lose a game last year at home and won the Sun Belt Conference Championship, and they're using Connexon. So I can only assume that has something to do with it.
I mean, it's the data, right? It's the data, you know, and you know, one of the things that, you know, when you mentioned, you know, the injuries and things, that's the other thing you can use the data for, right? When somebody does get injured, you can use them to get back onto the field or back onto the court, right?
Right. Yeah. The return to play is significantly faster if you use your resources the correct way. Now, there are some things that you can't control and you need to have conversations with your athletes. First of all, how did this happen? Was it something that I did? Was it something that you did? Or was it something that was inevitable? Well, when it comes to programming, make sure you have the proper programming based on the data that you're collecting. When it comes to the athlete, what time did you wake up? What time did you go to sleep? Did you eat today? Are you hydrated? All right. All right. If you didn't do any of those things, then the finger, you know, not to point fingers, but like there are some things that you can mitigate if it comes to a soft tissue injury. And then when it comes to the return to play stuff, you have those baseline testings. All right, let's see what we can do today. Let's let volume be the stimulus and then crank up the intensity, you know, after the acute injury has finally faded and we can start progressing back. And I think that with the data collection and the DIA application of it, we can get guys back on the field faster. Now, there are some things that you don't want to push, but when it's in season and it's crunch time, you got to use it to your advantage. And it's better to be aggressive and pull on the reins than to have to smack them on the back with, I don't know what the jock.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, you know,
right.
Then they get them going.
But yeah, I mean, the data, insights, and actions, that's it at play. Hey, but I love yours, your ABC, always be coaching. I love that. So you got your acronyms too. So I don't, you know, I'm not going to sell you short. Hey, I think you're a good person to ask this next question. Since you've been using analytics personally and both professionally for the better part of 14 years now, what do you think is still missing? Is there anything that's still missing? Is there another step we can take, whether it be in football or sports in general, with the data or, you know, the analytics and the insights you can get?
I think that there's so much out there. The only thing that's missing is the amount of money that you're willing to spend to get it, because you have to make sacrifices. The perfect trio for me, strength and conditioning wise, is VBT, then it's force play and GPS. That way there's no guesswork involved for what you're doing in the weight room and on the field. That being said, you know, not every program can afford all that. So A, you have to work within your budget, and then B, you got to find something affordable, because there are tiers to it. You know, you get what you pay for, and you got to be smart by what you get and how you pay for it. But then when it comes to tracking, go ahead.
No, I was just wondering, dude, like, how do you get an athletic director or a coach to buy into that? If, you know, you're a head coach.
Yeah. First of all, you got to win. You got to win. And then you got to prove through the DIA exactly how you plan on winning and to keep winning. And then it comes down to, if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best, and then you got to stay the best. And that comes down to evaluating talent and then developing talent. And A, you got to get them in the door. Once they're in the door, they're yours, and you can build them up. And you, but you have to invest in the athletes. You have to invest in the athletes.
Well, what advice would you give? Like, let's say, you know, like you're looking at that budget. I mean, is it something where you know you could recommend to a coach like, hey, start small. Like you can't get 100 units like we have. Start small, and just so you can kind of build that burden of proof.
Yeah, absolutely. I would. The best thing that I would do is. I get emails every day. And to the people listening to this, if you've emailed me, sorry if I haven't responded, you know, but there are a million companies out there that want your business. But you know, the best thing that you can do is get a demo. Use the demos on your best athletes and use the demos on some of your less unfortunate athletes. All right. And then in between, and figure out what you can do to make the entire roster better. And if you could do that over the period of the demo, however it may be, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, or you get multiple demos from multiple companies that have different price points on what you're doing and what you're trying to achieve, and you have to show how your data collection, and then your implementation of the data that made the athlete better. And if you can show that and prove that this player is a better athlete because of the data that we've collected and then implemented the changes needed, there's no way that any athletic director will say no to that. The next challenge would be go out and raise money. And if you can't sit idle and say, well, we don't have enough money, go raise money for it. You know, whether it be you or, yeah.
No, that's great. That's great advice. I mean, that's the first step. I mean, it's always about the money, right? You know, and especially, you know, with smaller schools. But this has been great. I appreciate your candidness and, you know, and sharing, you know, your own insights into using data. And we'll have to have you. There's so much I can cover with you. You know, and again, congratulations on a great season. You know, I heard your story about Kent State when you caught the pass, and you know, like, that's my neck of the woods. I'm in Cleveland. Kent State's right down the road. You can't be picking on the Mac, man. Like, come on, you know, but that's a great story. And then the other great story was when Odell tackled you. When you thought you were going to score a touchdown.
Yeah. All right. So I have to correct that. He didn't tackle me. He just got in the way. I watched that play the other day. So I would give Odell the benefit of the doubt. My bad, brother. You didn't tackle me. We just ran into each other. Well, and then the funny thing about the Kent State is that they tried to throw. I don't know if I said this the last time, but they tried to throw me the same play the next play. And I was gassed and I didn't get open. So,
you know, you should have checked the data. They would have known, right? then they could have taken action. That's great. But those are great stories. And I hope one day we can sit down in a bar in Louisiana and I can pick your brain and hear about all those great stories and playing for Les Miles and all that. But we appreciate you taking
days. It's Mardi Gras right now. If you make it down next couple of days, we might be able to get you some beads.
Well, I've been to Mardi Gras once. I know what happens there. Bring a diaper. I know that. That much I know. So, all right, hey, Coach Connor Neighbors, we really appreciate you taking the time with us today and sharing your insights. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. And it's a blessing to be a part of the ConnectSoft family.
Thank you so much. And if you know a great coach who's out there doing great things, winning games and doing it with sports data and analytics, we want to hear about them. Hey, we may even ask them to be a future guest on the podcast. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. It's so easy. ConnectSon Sports. That's all you have to search. ConnectSon Sports on Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Reach out to us. We'd be happy to hear about those coaches. And remember, We want you to innovate the game by collecting the data, getting the insights, and then turning those insights into action. We'll see you next time.